shown such leadership in this body. And Lord, we ask you to bless him today and encourage him and open our hearts, Lord, to receive the word that he has for us today. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Avi. Good morning, everyone. As you know, we've been going through this series called Identity Matters. And I've just been so encouraged, I guess, by the different words that have come over the last 4 weeks, the different elements of identity. And in preparing for this week, my theme was supposed to be family identity and speaking about who we are in the family of God. But in really praying about it, there was nothing coming around family identity. And I think it's possibly because as a church, we've been through about 7 months of family identity, just realizing we're all part of this family and we're all meant to be part of this family. So what I'm going to be speaking about today is essentially reflecting back on some of the key messages that we've received over the last 4 weeks and then giving a bit of an indication later. But let's start off with the first slide, and it's really about, you know, this thing of what is our identity. Thanks, Simon. And, you know, it's quite easy to maybe just say, you know, identity should be found in the Lord and what the Bible says about us. But the truth is that our identity is found in so many different things. So what our parents say about us, our ancestry, whether we, in my case, I'm Scottish, which you could be Zulu, you could be from a different place. Your culture, just where you are there. The choices that you make in your life. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Maybe you've made some really good choices. All of those things affect essentially who you are, the clothing that you wear, your achievements along the way. And as I was reflecting against these different things, I realized that for all of us, the kind of size of the influence of those different things differs. For some of us, we might be putting a lot of our identity in our friends. What our friends say about us, what they maybe don't say about us. Maybe some choices that we made, maybe some really bad choices that we make, and maybe that's what kind of defines us. And I think for many people, it can be. A bad choice can define them for their whole life. So really just in terms of what our identity is, it's important just to realize that it can be shaped by lots of different things. But what should our view of self look like as Christ follows? And how do we live that out? Because I think if we just rely on all these things, these experiences, our cultures, our identity can be really challenged in many ways. But Christ speaks truth into our lives as well, and I want to run through some of that today. Thanks, Simon. Okay, so just a bit of an outline of what I'm going to be going through today. The first part is really just to recap some of the nuggets of truth that we've heard over the last 4 weeks. So the different topics that we've covered, the one was our identity in Jesus. That's what Harvey brought. Then Pam spoke about identity theft and the challenges of that, things we need to watch out for. Then we had a teaching from Richard and Sheila Lechmi-Ertel about finding our identity in Christ. And then Tony really challenged us about our calling, our identity calling last week. So I'm going to be running through some of those highlights. And then I'm going to be running through a story. And interesting, I was chatting with Barb's earlier as we were praying. And she was saying that she's got this picture in her mind of some character that really just depicts what it's like to live a life that's tied down and where identity is really challenged, and one where identity is really realized in terms of who someone is. And we're going to be going through an animated character as an example just to learn something from and to reflect on what we've learned. So that's going to be interesting for us later. Okay. Thanks, Simon. Okay, so I'm going to start off with identity in Jesus. And this is really what Harvey spoke to us about. Harvey, I might not have picked up on all your points, but there were certain nuggets of truth that really struck out for me. The first one is that we've got a new Father. And, you know, for me, that realization is a great thing because I've got a wonderful Father on earth. And it's easy for me to identify that and say, that's just fantastic. But some of you maybe haven't had that. But the truth is that God our Father is amazing. He loves us unconditionally. And that's part of our new identity, is that we've got a new Father, a heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally, and we're accepted by him. Then we have a new nature. So all of us struggle with self and the sinfulness of our own lives. But by the Holy Spirit, we essentially he allows us to live out a new life. So we have a new nature as we follow Christ. Then Harvey also spoke about the new hope that we have. And that new hope comes from our identity in Jesus. It's a new hope of living a life of value, of worth, of significance, but also just knowing that we've got an eternal life to look forward to. That's a real promise for us. And I think probably Ed and Barbara and others, as you're getting older, I mean, I'm just hit 40 now, I'm starting to think about those things. You're not going to be here forever, but we have an eternal future, an eternal promise, which we can hang on to. And that's part of our identity in Christ. But the truth is that all of these things, we can easily be distracted, and we can look for identity elsewhere. So we need to hold on to these things, what it is to have our identity in Christ. And that's really what Pam spoke into when she spoke about identity theft. Do you guys all remember that? Hopefully quite a lot of you are here. And really it stems from a verse in John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they can have life. I want them to have it in the fullest possible way." So Jesus' desire is that we've got life in the fullest possible way. But the devil comes against that. And Pam outlined three things that we need to really be aware of and watch out for if we're going to make sure that our identity isn't lost. The first is that the devil would come along and he would try and cause us to doubt our faith. Are you really a child of God? Does God really love you? And the truth is that he does. And we need to hang on to that. God does. So when we're challenged, we must realize that we are children of God. And then he'd also deceive us into not having a right view of our own identity in Christ. So a lot of people in the world have got a low sense of self-worth. Just feeling that they're not good enough. I think probably all of us have gone through stages where we just feel pretty down on ourselves. So that's the one side where, and that's not what Jesus wants of us. He doesn't want us to have that low self-worth. He wants us to have a right image of self and to know that God loves us. On the other side, the devil would tempt us with things of the world to have a sense of pride. And I think for men, this is a big thing. Think that I'm just so good. And that's also not right. So both of those things, a low self-image or pride, deflect us away from a right view in Christ. And then one that really struck home with me was the final one that I picked up from Pam's teaching was this difference between condemnation and conviction. And the devil would come to condemn us. You've done something wrong, you're worthless. You can't possibly have anything to do with God's kingdom. You can't make a difference for him. You won't come right. That's what the devil brings. But God's Spirit is gentle. It brings conviction. So when we feel convicted, I've done something wrong, I feel bad about that, the Spirit would come and say, well, turn back to me. And as we find repentance, we find that we're back in right relationship with God again. But we must watch out for condemnation. I've gone through periods in my life when I felt condemned. And then we feel disqualified. So if you're feeling disqualified or go through seasons when you're feeling disqualified, that's not of the Lord. He'd want to convict you and bring him back to yourself and see you move on. Okay, so thanks to Pam for all that she brought in that sermon. And then Richard and Sheila Lichmiertel came, and they spoke about our identity in Christ. So we can go over that one, thanks. Again, for me, there were quite a few things that stood out in that sermon. One thing that I really enjoyed was the words of knowledge, the prophecies that were given. We prayed for some people. And just what that said to me is that God knows us and he loves us individually. We don't just have to look to the Bible to understand who God is. God can also speak to us individually. He loves us individually. So when he speaks, I mean, I was just remember what Sheila said or prophesied over Doozy. It was just amazing. She didn't know Doozy, but all the words that she said rang so true. And it's like, it's just amazing. God knows Doozy. God loves Doozy. So I think that's important to know that he loves us individually, not just as a broad collective. He's really concerned in each of our lives. Can the next one, what you believe dictates your feelings and behavior? So I've just lost my place, yeah? Okay, so if you remember what they were speaking about, they had, they drew up that one poster that side. And on that, Sheila was writing up a whole lot of things in terms of who we are in Christ. So what Christ says about us. He says that we're spiritually blessed, we're chosen, we're holy, we're blameless, we're adopted, redeemed, forgiven. The wonderful things that we're told about Christ. But the challenge is that in the world, and they had another picture here about what the world says about us. And what the world says about us is often in contrast to what Christ says about us. And we're told in Romans 12:2 to not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And just what really struck me there is that it's what you believe dictates your feelings and behaviors. So if you think, and I think Sheila gave quite a personal testimony of that. I think if we can go into the next slide there. They strung up a wash line. You remember that? And on that wash line, they put a whole lot of cards. On the one side was truth, and really about what God says about you. And the other side is feelings, sometimes how we feel about ourselves. And she gave the example of waking up in the morning and having one of those fat days. Where she just said, you know, sometimes I wake up and I just feel I'm just not good enough. And if she starts there, then her actions can follow, start putting on fat clothes, start feeling bad about yourself. And it just reinforces one's beliefs when people don't notice you and your husband maybe says something that, you know, you don't look so great in that today. But the start of that is feelings. But what she really emphasizes is that what we need to do, if we're going to follow Christ, if we're going to have a right identity, is start off on the truth. And if in that moment she's able to say, actually, I am loved by Jesus. Jesus sees me, he's made me perfectly, and I'm perfectly and wonderfully made. Richard loves me. He's committed to me. Through thick and thin, he will love me. If she starts there, if that is her belief, if she allows her belief to be guided by her truth, her actions and feelings follow. And she has a good day. She doesn't have a fat day. I think all of us have those fat days in different ways. But I think the encouragement to me was, if we're going to really walk in sound identity, we need to hold on to the truth of God's word. That's where we really need to find that identity. Okay, and then the final word was one that Tony brought last week. And I'm not going to do it any justice, Tony. But I mean, I was really, it's just such a wonderful word Tony brought. But there are a few things that stood out for me. The first was a calling to follow. And remember Tony called Nick's up? Is Nick's here today? She's not? Okay. Yeah, so Nikki was here and she got up a bit, was wondering what Tony's going to do. And really what Tony showed is that how important it is, if you don't want to lose your way, to be willing to follow someone. So the example was that Nikki was going to be navigating Tony through on a car. They're pretending to be driving cars just through the city of Joburg. And Tony didn't know Joburg very well. And Nikki had all the direction, no Google Maps or anything. And so as Nikki walked along, Tony had to follow. And there were two elements there. The first is that for Tony to follow and not get lost, he had to stop what he was doing and actually focus on where Nikki was going. And I think that's important for us as well in our lives, that we can very easily not stop what we're doing to focus on what the Lord would want us to do. And if we're not looking up to actually see where the Lord's going, we're not going to be following him. And the other point Tony raised is that we've got to keep on following. So you could choose to follow for a bit, but then get distracted by other things. And then you're also not going to be living out that full identity and the purposes that God has for us. So I thought that was a very practical illustration for us. The next one, and I think this could have been a three-part series that Tony could have spoken on, was the calling to be. And he spoke about the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. I think it was interesting, the Beatitudes. So it's really around the attitudes that God's calling us to have as Christians. And Ella, I think, made a whole lot of pictures, a little stickers, and Tony put them on here. So if you remember what those are, it's about being righteous. It's about merciful. God loving the peacemakers, loving those that mourn, loving those that are pure in spirit, pure in heart, meek. So these are the kind of things that we can reflect on, and the attitudes that Christ wants us to have as we follow him as well. And in doing that, we'll really find a sense of identity too. And then the final point that stood out for me from Tony's speaking was a calling to act. So if we're going to, and what struck me, I guess, in preparing for today, was this question around what is our identity? Is it what we're told we are, or is it what we live out? And I was just thinking that, you know, actually I might be told I'm a child of God. I might be told that I've got wonderful potential. But if the way I live it out is not as a child of God, and living out different things, is that my real identity? And I think our identity is taken up when we actually believe and we walk out what we believe. Does that make sense? And part of that is acting out what we believe. And the statement that really stood out for me from Tony's message there was he said that Jesus stood up. And he's obviously the one that we're following. Jesus stood up in many different ways. But I mean, in the ultimate way, he stood up and said, you know, I'm willing to die for what I believe in. And so the question is, as we have this identity as Christians, are we willing to stand up and say, I am a Christ follower, and act out that walk? So lots of nuggets that I think we've received over the last 4 weeks, and lot to reflect against. So I'd really encourage you guys, if you missed some of those teachings, won't you download them? You can put them onto your little flash drive and read them and listen to them as you're in your car, or you can listen to them on the internet. They really are worthwhile. Thanks, Simon. So really, just along with that calling to act, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, so that's just a recap essentially of what we've been through the last four weeks. Now we're going to go to that story I was telling you about. And I've got to say, I mentioned it to Heath, and Heath said, ooh, I'm not sure, Doug. So, and I think the reality is that any worldly story that's out there has got things that aren't great about it. And we can't take, you know, a lot of stories as, you know, this is a good example of God or what it means to be a Christian. But the story I want to take today is about Simba the Lion King. And I know Heather's saying that there's some moms in a group that have already said there's this little monkey that does some strange stuff and it's really not great. And I can identify with that, that's fine. But let's just focus on what we can learn from the story today. And to me, it just illustrated really well some of the challenges that one has with identity. And really, it's a story about identity lost and identity found. And I think Christ would want us to see us find our identity in him. So we're just going to flick through some slides. And does anyone not know the story of Simba the Lion? Come on, you're allowed to raise your hand if there's someone. Yeah, okay, Bob's going to tell you something new. I think for most of us parents, like, this is probably the story, or the animated stories are the stories we know best. Anyway, let's just go through it quickly. So Simba's a lion cub, and he's born as a child of the king. I think one could say, you know, what is interesting as I was going through this is there's so many parallels to our journey with Christ as well in this, that we also born as children of the king, as we come into a relationship with God. So he's born with an amazing destiny, an amazing future. Thanks, Simon. And his father takes him around, the romp, then they play, and one day his father comes and shows him this amazing territory. And he says, son, one day, this is your identity. You're destined for greatness. You're going to be a king. And I've got to say, if you look at the movie, he certainly takes it on board. His whole body language changes. He becomes more confident. He starts messing around with his father's advisor, and you really see that there's a sense of confidence in him. But things go wrong quite quickly. And he's deceived by lies. So this is his father's brother who's got a plan to take over the kingdom. And his plan is to kill the king, but he knows that he can never take on the king himself. So he lies to Simba, and he basically, he puts Simba in this big wide valley, and he says, I've got a surprise for you, just wait here. Thanks, Simon, but the surprise is not a great surprise. Basically what Scar has done is he's got together with the hyenas who are the enemy, and they take this big herd of wildebeest and they chase them down this valley. And it's right where Simba is sitting. Thanks, Simon. And what happens is his father hears about this, comes running to the rescue, and his father gets killed. He gives up his life to try and save his son. But this poor little guy, he's sitting there seeing that his father's dead, and Scar, the brother, comes and says, it's your fault. It's your fault. It wasn't his fault, but he's told it's his fault. And you just see the little guy just wither up from a proud little lion to a lion with the world on his shoulders. And then essentially he's told just to run away. Run away. And the hyenas try to chase him and catch him, but he gets away. He lands up in a desert away from out of the kingdom, out of the territory, and essentially in a world that he's never seen before. And there, some very, very interesting characters come and meet up with him. And they've got their own identity problems and identity challenges. You know Pumbaa when he clears the waterhole? And Timon, I don't know what he thinks he is. But essentially, they become his new friends. And I think you really just see the influence of friends on identity. And doesn't that affect us as well? How the friends around us really do influence who we are and how we act. Thanks, Simon. And so what comes with it is a very new lifestyle. From being king of the beasts, king of the food chain, everyone's afraid of me, he lands up in a position where he's eating bugs and worms. Hakuna Matata, everything's great. But really, if you look at him in terms of whether he's a lion or not, he's supposed to be the king of the plains. And he lands up being friends with a bunch of interesting characters and being convinced that eating worms and grubs are really what it's all about. Which is, you know, it's quite sad to see, but, you know, he carries on. But then something happens. He grows up. I guess it's probably 2 or 3 years in a lion's life. He's Hakuna Matata. Everything's hunky-dory. Essentially living with no responsibilities. He's a happy lion having fun times. But then there's a challenge to his identity. And I'm just going to go through a little video clip of that quickly, because I think it's quite a nice little part of the movie that we can reflect against. If you can do the lights there. Thanks.
Nala? Is it really you?
Who are you?
It's me, Simba.
Simba?
Nala, she's my best friend.
Friend?
Yeah.
Hey, Pumbaa, come over here.
Hmm? Nala, this is Pumbaa. Pumbaa, Nala.
Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Pleasure's all mine.
How you do?
Whoa, time out. Let me get this straight.
You know her. She knows you. But she wants to eat him. And everybody's okay with this?
Did I miss something?
Relax, Simone.
Wait till everyone finds out you've been here all this time. Your mother. What will she think?
She doesn't have to know. Nobody has to know.
Well, of course they do. Everyone thinks you're dead.
They do?
Yeah. Scar told us about the stampede.
He did? What else did he tell you?
What else matters? You're alive. And that means you're the king.
King? Lady, have you got your lions crossed?
King? Your Majesty, I gravel at your feet.
Stop it. It's not gravel, it's grovel. And don't. He's not the king.
Are you? No.
Simba?
No, I'm not the king. Maybe I was gonna be, but that was a long time ago.
Let me get this straight. You're the king? And you never told us?
Look, I'm still the same guy.
But with power.
Could you guys excuse us for a few minutes?
Hey, whatever she has to say, she can say in front of us. Right, Simba?
Maybe you'd better go. It starts. You think you know a guy. Timon and Pumbaa, you learn to love him. What? What is it?
It's like you're back from the dead. I don't know how much this will mean to everyone. It means to me.
Hey, it's okay.
I've really missed you.
I've missed you, too. I tell you, Pumbaa, this stinks.
Oh, sorry.
Not you, them!
Kevin, I mean, what really struck me about that particular moment is that Simba had there was a choice that he had to make there. And I mean, his feelings were, I'm worthless. I've been called to this amazing thing, but it is my fault that my dad died. And he had a choice. He could either rely on those feelings to dictate what he did. If he'd relied on those feelings, he would have stayed where he was. Or he could actually take hold of the truth, which is that he was called to be the king. And he could act that out. And so that wash line that we had, it was quite useful just reflecting that that was a similar scenario there, that Simba could have decided to hold on to the truth or hold on to the feelings. And I think in the same way, we can choose to believe what God says about us, or we can choose to rely and stick to the feelings that we have about who we are, or maybe who we feel we aren't. Thanks, Simon. Okay, so he's got this, then he has this choice. And it's really, going back to what Tony was talking about, there's a choice of being, in this case the attitudes, taking up those attitudes of I am a lion. I need to walk like a lion. And then to act. And acting in this case was a tough thing. He essentially had to go back and face a whole group of hyenas that had taken over the kingdom. So it wasn't an easy thing to do. And I think sometimes it's not easy for us to act out our identity in Christ either. But we're called in the same way, I would argue, that Simba was called to go back. We called to actually take on what we called to do and to stand up for what we believe in as well. Thanks, Simon. So what lands up happening is that he runs home. He lands up taking over the pride lands. And there's a whole new birth of his identity as the king of the lions. And yes, it's just a story, but hopefully for you guys what it does do is it gives you a practical illustration of how important identity is. And I think we have an identity in Christ. He's calling us to walk and to follow him, and essentially he's calling us into greatness in his kingdom. It's different to what it means to be great in the world. There's all those different things about identity, but he's calling us to really follow him. And I think what's quite good is that we don't have to just rely on Simba the Lion as our great example of what it means to have an identity in Christ. And really we can rely on Jesus. Thanks, Simon. So let's really look to Jesus. He's the Son of God, and I think he's the best example we have of a man who followed God wholeheartedly. So his identity and his whole sense of purpose was rooted in God. And in the same way, God wants us to be rooted in him, our identity to be rooted in him. Jesus stood for his beliefs in the way that he lived. In the same way, he wants us to act out our beliefs in the way that we live, in the decisions that we make. And it's really because of his death that we have this new identity, which is in Christ, not in the world. So really just the encouragement as I finish up is let's keep turning to him. Jesus is the author, he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that's going to help us to realize that identity in him. So let's keep on leaning on him. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help shape us as we press on to this identity. Okay, thanks guys.